Today's episode of Don't Make Me Come Back There is brought to you by Dow Vineyards and Winery, an exceptional wine tasting experience just a few hours outside of L.A. Immerse yourself in beautiful views, world-class wine, and feeling like you are part of the Dow family. Go to dowvineyards.com/don't make me come back there for an exclusive offer for backseaters. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson.
Chico.
I'm a stand-up comedian, the host of the aforementioned podcast. Yeah. Alongside me is Stephen English, stand-up comedian, recently bombed on stage less than an hour ago, and co-host and producer of this podcast.
I told you that in confidence.
Told me he's got a new joke. He just hasn't found the funny part to it, meaning I would think we would classify those as sentences.
Yeah. It's because here's the deal. Because here's the purpose. It's like what is up with airplane food?
Right. It's a fair point.
It's like what is up with it?
I don't know, but it is up. I did have a guy on a plane recently next to me complaining about. He was like upset that we didn't get a meal, and he was upset that his seat wasn't going back. And then he what's the other thing he was upset? It was another thing that he was really upset about. And I was like, have you not flown since the 80s?
He was upset he's on Spirit Airlines.
Right, exactly. And yeah. I was like, I feel like, are you also upset that you can't smoke and grab the, right. the butt of the stewardess?
Right. This broad didn't even like me.
I know.
Talking about our gams. All right, guy.
Anyways, welcome to our little podcast. If this is your first time, we welcome you. And if you are regular backseaters, welcome back. It's happy to have you. And today, hopping in the front seat with us in our podcast is a one Trey Kennedy.
Yep.
Dun-da-da-da.
Three Kennedys.
Trey Kennedy is a hilarious comedian in Instagram and social media. I never know what to call him. Star.
Yeah.
Viral sensation.
Yeah. What's his follower numbers? Hit me with those follower numbers.
Have you not researched this guest before?
I haven't researched anything since eighth grade.
Do you know that you're recording a podcast right now?
I know the Redfern Grows is about loss. That's pretty much the last time I did a research.
You're thinking about Fern Gully.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously. Yeah. Trey is known for his hilarious videos all over the interwebs and also getting all the way back to the Vine days. Very funny guy. We were on tour together doing shows with John Crist, and we took an opportunity to record a podcast.
Yeah.
Got to know Trey a little better that weekend, had a lot of fun, and this episode we talk some comedy, some family. You know what we talk probably about more than anything? One of my favorite topics in the world, middle schoolers. Oh,
yeah.
We talk about the middle school days. We talk about middle schoolers. We talk about being in middle school.
Right.
The painful, embarrassing, insecure years that those are, which is great because some of Trey's favorite videos are his middle school character, and we really had a good time.
Yeah.
I hope you guys enjoy this video. You can check out Trey on Twitter and Instagram at Trey N. Kennedy. And also, he has a new podcast out called Correct Opinions.
Right.
Trey Kennedy, Correct Opinions. So if you're a podcast person, which you are if you're listening to this,
right.
you go over there.
Or you might be in a hospital.
You might be in a hospital.
In a coma, and they're like just trying to like put something on for you so that you don't forget.
I have had people tell me that they listen to this to help them rest. And I go, I don't think that's a compliment.
Right.
I don't think that a funny podcast is meant to be like, we soothe you.
And we put I have a hyperactive child that I put this on for. It knocks him right out.
Right. Yeah. Whatever weird diagnosis. Oh, my dad who lives with us is a hypochondriac. I want to tell you this today. He's, he's your classic, like, hey, I stubbed my toe. I have cancer. Like,
right.
It just de-escalates. Today, he came out and he was like massaging his pinky. He was doing this. He goes, oh, gosh, my pinky hurts. He goes, I think I got that pinky gout.
What is he, the king of France? Is he just sitting here eating just shrimp cocktail? That's what you get. I just found out the other day that's how you get gout, is just sitting around and eating shrimp. That's how you get gout.
Shrimp?
Yeah. And you eat shellfish.
Gout sounds like what shrimp would eat.
No. I'm not playing, bro.
What are shrimpy? They eat gout. Or that's what you call like a group of shrimp?
It's a grout. A grout of shrimp, yeah.
What do you call a group of shrimp?
Bro, I'm not playing.
Grout, but the gout.
Every single king and queen had it back in the day because all they did was sit and eat shrimp.
And that's how you get it?
And that's how you get gout.
So that's what my dad's doing in that room
like
right
goose,
now.
Or like goose. You eat like a lot of fatty, like high-fatty foods.
Yeah.
And like you get rich foods. So you get goose.
So
and
you do research
around.
Some things.
Research things that interest me. Yeah.
What a wild self-diagnosis, though, right?
It's the king's disease.
Yeah. That's what it is?
It's called the King's
Disease.
It's
royalty.
Yeah.
My dad is royalty in there.
Just sitting there.
Just to go. That's what I said. He's like, Dad, you went from my pinky hurts.
To pinky gout.
To I got the pinky gout.
Yeah.
Gout of the pinky, which makes it sound like it's a specific, like it's like cancer. Like there are different types.
Right.
You get the breast gout. You got brain gout.
Breast gout.
You got, you know.
That's what you just rub shrimp on your breasts.
And you get rid of the gout.
Right.
It doesn't.
Right.
Is that how you get rid of gout too? Is the actual shrimp on the skin?
Outside, yeah. Shrimp on the inside getting gout. Shrimp on the outside getting gout out.
Get grout. Get gout. That's the Tyler Perry's going to do a parody of Get Out.
Yeah.
Called get gout.
Yeah. Madea's Get Gout.
I'm into it. It's very subversive.
Yeah.
It's very subversive. Oh, anyway, so that's my dad. We have a couple things that we want to get into. First off, what I want to do is I want to tell you guys about some upcoming headlining dates that I have. If you want to come see me do stand-up comedy for like 45 minutes to an hour at a time.
Yeah.
December 14th at the Grandstand in San Diego. Stephen English will be hosting that show.
I will be.
February 9th, Spokane Comedy Club in Spokane. February 26th at Zany's Comedy Club in Nashville, Tennessee.
Zany's.
And recently changed the date from March. Now we're in May. We're doing 7 shows. May 14th through 17th at Tacoma Comedy Club in Tacoma, Washington. Backseaters in the Seattle area. Come to that. That's right next to where we grew up. In Federal Way. Neighboring cities right there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's where my wife went to high school.
Yeah.
Which is
at the Comedy Club?
At the Comedy Club.
That's weird.
Absolutely. It was... You know, it was really more like a co-op type thing.
Yeah,
but,
she does your taxes, so you should get a different person to do
she
it.
She does.
Grow up. Yeah. Grow up once in your life. For once, grow up in your life.
It doesn't even make sense.
I've had to hear so many of these tonight so
none
far.
None of them make sense. Go to DustinNickerson.com to check those out. Hit that shows page, and that's where you're gonna do that.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got a couple other things we got to get in. We got some voicemails.
Okay.
We got one voicemail.
Yep, yep.
We got a voicemail. Cue it up.
All right. This is Zach from Tennessee.
Hey, guys. This is Zach Treat from Nashville, Tennessee, and I've just got a quick question about girls.
Hey, Zach. Uh-oh. Just a reminder, headlining Zany's in February. See you there, Zach.
Not girls that I'm trying to date, but girls that I'm in interactions with throughout the day. For example, this one girl reminded me of something that was going on tonight and told me that I should be there. And I'm curious if I should just tell her that I'm not available, or if I should tell her I'm not available because I'm going out on a date with my girlfriend. Do girls like it when guys are too busy to hang out with them and do other things because they're hanging out with their girlfriend? Somebody, you know, fill me in on the details here. I'm just trying to manipulate the female species. Have a great day. Love the podcast.
Okay, Zach.
Okay.
All right.
Zach.
Zach, you're asking two stand-up comedians.
And married men.
What do you do when too many girls like you?
First off, Zach, I don't love your tone. I don't love your let me call on to this funny podcast.
Right.
It's pretty popular. And just let the ladies of Tennessee know that Zach's getting a lot of attention.
Zach's getting a lot of action.
Yeah, yeah.
He's getting a lot of Zaction.
A lot of attack on Zach.
Yeah.
Come on, Zach.
Zach, again, we are two people who had to develop personalities because we were not good at, the ladies.
Excuse me, what?
I mean, this is why you became
funny.
My wife
pays my taxes. And
this is why you became funny.
Okay, Zach, this is an interesting question. And I do feel like I'm qualified to answer because people ask me a lot, do you get hit on at shows?
Right.
And the answer is more than you would think and not by who you would think.
Okay.
I get a lot of single moms.
A lot of single grandmas.
No,
too.
No. A lot of single moms.
Right. Well, grandmas
are moms.
On
me and like kind of rub up on me as they show me pictures of their kids. It's a very specific group.
It's good. That's
that shows interest.
It's a very specific aphrodisiac.
That's like, well, maybe Dustin could make me whole.
Right. And yeah.
And I can say that maybe this is a jump in application, that part of the reason that there is an attraction or an interest there is like, oh, this guy seems like a guy that, you know, has it together.
Right, I've heard
and
that.
And maybe that's a little bit what's happening here with Zach. It's like, hey, yeah. Oh, they're like, oh, Zach already has a girlfriend.
Right.
That means he knows how to treat girls.
Right. I've heard that. I think that's false. That, I think that's false.
What's false?
That people think that, like, oh, if you have a girlfriend or you have a significant other, mm-hmm. then you're more attractive to the opposite sex. Mm-hmm. I think that is patently false.
It's the unattainability thing. No, I think, I don't know.
No, I think the whole reason you got into a relationship, that you get into a relationship, is because you found one person who actually agrees.
No. I got into a relationship because I was empty on the inside and needed a wife mom. And
you just couldn't fold a shirt. You realize
still
one day,
still
like, I can't fold a t-shirt. I need to get a mummy.
But you know what? I can sell some t-shirts on the road to pay some rent.
Yep.
You could hear that cackling in the back.
Right. Yeah.
As she sets up our online merch sale. Zach, congratulations, I guess.
All the congrats.
I'm not entirely sure what to say to you other than I bet your current girlfriend has an opinion on this.
I hope she's listening.
That is just let them know that you have a girlfriend.
Right. Be clear about it. Get a promise ring.
Yeah. But you know what? If you want to just keep things polite there, just to keep options open, maybe Zach's dating a girl that's a little crazy. And he's like, listen, I'm going to enjoy this ride while I can. But I know, like most great rides, it gets shut down pretty soon.
Right.
You know, how many times you rolled into Disneyland?
Right.
And Shadow Mountain's closed. Matterhorn's closed.
What? Shadow Mountain?
I don't know. Is that a thing?
That's not a thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I hate Disneyland. or Matterhorn. Oh, Shadow Mountain's a church. Yeah. What's the Space Mountain? Sorry, it doesn't matter. Space Mountain's closed.
Right.
But you know why? Because it's a wild ride. And maybe that's what Zach's girlfriend is like. Listen,
right.
This is going to be shut down some days.
And meanwhile,
and I'm going to need the teacups.
Autotopia's like, Zach, what are you doing? Zach, what are you doing? The rocket ship's
maybe
just sitting
she's
there.
A little better than Autotopia.
Right.
Maybe she's Small World.
Right.
Maybe she's, I don't know, maybe she's a lot of fun.
She's Tom Sawyer's Island.
You know what? Maybe she's a little kooky and like a little, maybe she's a Jungle Cruise.
You know what?
I can get down with the Jungle
Starring
Cruise.
Starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
You know what? You want to marry the Jungle Cruise.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Sense of humor.
You know why? Because the Jungle Cruise is a lady in the streets and a freak in the sheets.
Yeah. Zach, you're welcome.
Can that stay?
For all of
Can
this.
Can that stay in the episode?
I think so.
Okay,
I don't know.
Good.
all right. Thank you, Zach, for the
Thanks,
call.
Zach.
Thanks for being a listener.
I don't think we even answered his question even a little bit.
I do want to lead. I want to read a couple podcast reviews.
Oh, sure enough.
You guys, your podcast reviews. You go in there and you hit that 5-star and then you tell us a little something about why you love this. This one right here is from Vanessa Ped. Sure.
Sure.
Vanessa PED, maybe. Relatable and entertaining.
Vanessa, performance enhancing drugs.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah. My husband and I first saw Dustin at a comedy show in Linden, Washington. Remember that? Which was a small, mostly Dutch town, in case you don't remember. Oh, I don't forget. Yeah.
How could you forget the Dutch town of Linden?
We really enjoyed your part of the show. We started listening to the podcast after that, and I eventually started to listen like my husband told me to and started listening to the podcast, and our marriage has been saved.
Right.
But really, every podcast has relatable content and entertaining and fun, and I highly recommend it. It's something my husband and I can listen to together or listen separately to talk about later. I'm going to get going to have to get tickets for my upcoming husband to see to get tickets for my husband to see one of Dustin's upcoming shows as penance. There you go.
I don't know. What does penance mean?
You're Catholic and you don't know what penance is?
I'm not Catholic. I went to Catholic school. It's two completely different things.
When you're done researching,
it cost me more to go to the school because I wasn't Catholic.
Penance is the currency that you use to buy shrimp.
You're going to get gout, girl.
You're going to get that gout, girl.
Vanessa, don't do it. You won't
get that gout.
Get that gout,
girl.
You'll get that pinky gout.
This one we listened to 5-star. Always enjoy listening from Kim Brockmeyer. This podcast is guaranteed to brighten my day. Yeah. Always enjoy listening no matter who the guest is. Witty, funny, and real. I'm not a parent, but I love the bad parenting advice bit. Good. We got some coming up. Seriously makes me think about having kids just to ruin them. Shout out. Thank you for the laughs. Can't wait for the next podcast and can't wait to catch one of your shows. Thank you, Kim Brockmeyer. Yeah. You are the best. Let's do this this email from Greg.
Greg
P.
G-Reg.
Greg's hitting us and he wants some bad advice, some parenting advice that probably won't help.
Yeah.
And this is it right here.
Okay.
How do I get my four-year-old to stop sucking his fingers?
Right.
I feel he's getting way too old to walk around with his hands and his mouth all the time. Okay, fair question. And I feel like this is, honestly, this is best for you.
Yeah.
Because you still suck your fingers most days.
They're in my mouth right now. they are currently, all five of them are currently in my mouth right now. And, so what would you
and
do?
And making room for the other five.
Right.
It's a double decker.
There they go. This is going to be a video and you're not, this video you're not going to see.
You guys don't realize this is like the sole reason that I keep him on here. So I'm amazed that he can, it's like that old picture of Yogi Bear holding five baseballs.
Right.
And I'm like, this guy's the finger mouth talker. So the question is how to get your four-year-old to stop sucking his or her fingers. Don't make those kind of assumptions.
Right.
Okay. So how I asked Melissa about this.
Right.
Because honestly, I need you to stop sucking your fingers.
Never. Seriously, just stop asking me.
And she said what she does is she said to cut the nails so they don't get germs, but that's not helping.
That's enabling.
That's enabling.
Right. So you cut the fingernails and then you dip it in sugar. And then some cinnamon.
Okay.
So they get real delicious.
So like a churro.
Get them real delicious.
They get a finger churro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then eventually they'll bite them off.
So.
And then next thing you know, you can't suck what's not there.
You know.
That's my family's
motto.
So
what's going to happen is they're going to get diabetes, which means they're going to lose their fingers and their feet.
And
their toes, right?
Bro, this is a little insight.
This is real because you lose your toes or feet to diabetes, right?
And you know what else? To gout. I used to bite my toenails when I was a little kid.
What?
Yeah. It's disgusting.
Oh, gosh.
I thought about it. Someone asked me about that.
I bet you'd do it now, too, if you were flexible enough. You just...
You know what? Only one way to find out, and that's to go to yoga.
Dorothy, bring my foot to my mouth. Honey.
I got good death for my mouth, baby. Nice. You never did that before?
Ever Nobody in your life? Does
Never
that.
In your life.
Nobody chose.
Not one time in your life.
Not one time in my life.
I used to, because I hate.
I've chewed my fingernails.
No, because I hate nail clippers. They always make me nervous. I always think I'm going to like cut like too far. So I thought in my weird mind, I thought, if I do it with my teeth, then I'm never going to go too far. And so I used to bite off all my fingernails and then I would get done and I would bite all my toenails off, which is disgusting.
It's the grossest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now this makes sense of why you kind of have a disease.
Well, my breath smells so bad.
You have a disease ridden vibe to you. I've always felt like you felt like you're on the mend.
I have the grossest breath of all time.
Yeah.
Just toenail breath.
Real advice here to get your kid to stop.
Right.
I say, okay, the question again, how do you get your four-year-old to stop sucking his fingers? I say let those nails grow.
Yeah.
Let him cut up his tongue.
Yeah.
Let him go full like scissor hand.
Right.
And just now he's bleeding from the gums.
Right.
And now he has to make a choice. What do you value more?
Right.
Your teeth, your gums, your tongue, or sucking on those fingers?
Those sweet, sweet churro fingers.
Sweet, sweet finger.
You know what? Now that I said it right there. Kind of a toss-up. Bit of a toss-up.
I mean, there's no doubt that a finger is very flavorful, especially for a kid.
Yeah.
Because you're touching all kinds of
there's
tasty things.
There's PB. There's J.
Yeah.
There's all sorts. There's also Cheeto
said
dust.
Pee-pee,
no, there's
there is
PB.
That.
There's also PB. There's J. There's Cheeto dust.
Yeah. Yeah. There's whatever's in your hair from scratching that.
Right.
It's from whatever's in your nose.
Right.
I mean, it's a real gumbo, you know, like of what's going on there.
A flavors.
Okay. So two options. I say let your kid grow those nails out and chop up your whole mouth.
Yeah.
Just looking like a wood chipper.
And I say make them so delicious that they can't help but just bite them off.
Yeah.
And then that's, you know what?
The other option, let him do it and see if he can be a trendsetter.
Okay.
Maybe he can start a new thing.
Right.
Maybe he can become the guy that normalizes finger sucking.
Sure.
Because you know what? Sometimes you want to suck a finger. Sometimes.
Yeah. Sometimes you want to bite a toe.
Sometimes there's like, when you're like, when you got that thing is covered in wing sauce.
Yeah.
And that you want to go, you want to go to work on that.
That's true. He could be the new colonel.
You feel embarrassed.
His finger looking good.
Yeah. You feel, and he said, it's not food that's finger looking good. He says the fingers themselves are what's good.
They're just,
your kid is a pioneer.
Right.
Encourage his dreams.
Yeah.
Champion him.
Get him.
All right. Have him read some Gary V.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you for the email, Greg. That is very nice of you.
Hey, Dustin.
Yeah.
You look a little thirsty.
Don't you dare.
Yeah.
Don't you dare. You know, don't. What? No, no, no.
You don't know what I'm going to say.
I don't respect.
You don't know what I'm going to say.
I don't respect this transition enough.
No, you have no idea what I'm going to say. You have no idea what I'm going to say. Let me finish. Can I finish?
You cannot finish because I know what this is.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
I bet I know what it is.
No, you do not.
Can I take one guess on what it is?
No. Because can I just... No, please don't take a guess. Can I just finish it?
Oh, you know what, buddy? Don't do it. Don't, you know, down to it. Guys. Yeah. Can I tell you about our friends, Dow Vineyards and Winery?
Please.
As you guys know, man, we are a funny podcast about family.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Dow estate, the Dow Vineyards and Winery, the Dow Company, the Dow Brothers, that's what they're about, man. They're about family.
Yeah.
And that's what we're about here, too.
Right.
We had a chance to go up and visit. Man, it's amazing up on the mountain in Paso Robles.
You're really good at
that, man. It's absolutely gorgeous. Okay, man. You understand they pay for the ad per second, right? Okay, that is. I apologize to our sponsors.
I could have gone longer.
I know you could, absolutely. The winery is absolutely gorgeous, you guys.
It
sits at 2,200 feet. The estate is just absolutely spectacular. The views are breathtaking. Paso is known for its historic downtown scene, so there's a ton to do while you guys are up in that area. The boutique stores, local cuisine, all kinds of fun stuff.
Sure enough.
Me and my wife had an opportunity to go up there, and it was amazing to kind of remove a little bit, especially so close. If you guys are in the L.A., San Diego type area, is not far away. Couple hour drive. You go up there. It's close, but it takes you to a far away place. You like that? Yeah. You keep doing those long R's and I'll actually make some money for our sponsor
here.
No, do not do it one more time. Backseaters, we have a special offer for you guys, and that is to become a Dow member for the day. That includes VIP tasting, exclusive access and seating, a guided tour of the state, and a surprise gift, and that is at $45 a person.
Yeah.
And to go check that out, you're going to go to dowvineyards.com/don't make me come back there. That is Dow Vineyards, D-A-O-U, vineyards.com. There'll be a link in the description as well. Thank you. Enjoy this episode with Trey Kennedy. Please keep giving us calls. Send us the emails at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com. Leave us voicemails at 619-292-8787. And keep leaving those reviews. You guys are the best. Enjoy this episode. Well, thanks for doing this, buddy. We are, for a little context, we are in what is clearly just an auxiliary room in a church in Austin, Texas.
Yep.
We have slept in. You had a nice bus slumber.
Man, I've done the tour bus thing just a couple times now. And yeah, for context, you just like the bunks, like you've probably seen in the movies or whatever, and you slide it closed. I mean, pitch black.
It is.
And I woke up just sure. I was like, I need to sleep more. And I checked my phone. It was 10:30 a.m. Like I truly haven't slept that late in maybe a year. I don't know. I
was it's just that level of dark where you don't know if your eyes are open or not.
Yeah, totally. It's so disorienting.
This is darker than my mind. Darker than any. Well,
yeah. I think it takes a few nights to get used to, like, the bus, you know, obviously is moving through the night.
The rhythm
I woke up twice, like, oh my gosh, we're crashing. Like when we'd like hit bumps on the highway or something.
This is the first time, because I've toured with John and I've toured with Tim Hawkins, who's on a bus too. And this is the first time I've ever been on the bottom bunk. And it's the first time I've ever had anyone above me.
Mm.
And it does add a different dynamic of things to think about.
Like what?
Like the creaks above you.
Okay.
Aaron Weber was above me. And this is not a weight thing.
Yeah. Okay. Well, but none of us, I didn't think that.
No, but Aaron's a big dude.
Sure.
And
so there's a concern.
I thought
that's not what you're saying.
I thought that if this crashed, like I've thought about bus crashing a million times, but I thought if it crashed, I would be trapped.
Dude, did you see, it was like on my Twitter moments or whatever, there was some tour bus that crashed like a month ago or something. Awful. I don't know who it was, but
awful.
That went through my mind last night. I was laying there like, I've talked about this on my podcast before, how we
people have a podcast.
Oh yeah. All right. Let me plug it. And then I'm just done. And then I'm done. No, I was like, we get so many people.
Oh,
nervous.
I'm sorry. We weren't recording. I'm just kidding.
I have done that before.
You got to work your thing subtly back in there. You were talking about
we get freaked out to get on airplanes. Mm. So many people do. And they've it's like one out of 100,000 crash.
So safe.
But we sleep on a bus, no worries. Those things crash all the time.
All the time. Yeah. And this is my wife's number one fear, and she's our most religious listener. So I'm glad that she can hear us talk about this. That I'm also
keep
scared.
Her up at night. So
actually,
great.
Honey, it's very rational that you're scared. That I would
keep being scared.
Dude, we had one coming. We were driving from Phoenix to San Diego, and there you have to go over a big mountain with big switchbacks and everything. Mm-hmm. And I've driven that road a lot, and it's in my car, I get down to 5-10 miles per hour, tight turns.
Jeez.
And we're on the bus, and I asked the driver the next day, and I was like, "Hey, how was it?" He's like, "It got a little rocky there for a second." He said there were a couple times where I couldn't make the turn, and I had to get it in reverse. And I was like, "You were reversing on a switchback mountain."
Oh my gosh.
With just, you know, a 10,000 foot drop off. And I was like, I'm glad I slept through that.
Exactly.
I wouldn't have helped him.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah, exactly. Dude, I wouldn't have slept at all if you could any windows to see what was happening.
Yeah. I was like, I'm just going to drink half a NyQuil before I go. Yeah. Ooh.
That was...
So here in Austin, I appreciate you doing the pod. You told me that earlier, what were we talking about? We were talking about hitting kids.
Hitting kids
in the car.
Because
somebody said I was telling about a kid that was mouthing off, and then Michael said that's why you got.
Oh yeah, you just got to beat him.
Yeah,
that's what
Michael
said.
It
was a lot. But.
And I was like, well, when you meet with anger, it usually escalates. And then you said parenting sounds terrifying.
It does, because I have so many people come to me. Like my most popular kind of character I make of videos is like this middle schooler. Right, where I just horribly
I cry laughing.
Okay, is it similar to your child or no?
Oh gosh,
is it really?
Yeah, I hurt laugh.
Yeah, and it was
trash cans because that's his chore. The trash cans.
The first time I made it, I didn't. It was one of those videos where I was like, I'm just gonna post it. I don't really think it's worth posting, but it was huge, and because I didn't think it was that creative. It was just me mimicking how I behave, and it's like, I'm so It's just parenting seems like such an impossible task.
Yeah, that's accurate.
Yeah, it seems so scary.
I think that with middle schoolers too, and then it's you personify so well. Like, no matter what has happened in your life, middle school are the worst 2 years of your life.
Yes, I talked about this with a friend recently. Like, I've lived through middle school. I don't know what's coming or what.
Yeah.
I know what's happened, and it will always be the worst.
It'll always be the worst. It'll always
so. I felt this big, very small, so confused. I was telling my buddy, reliving my first girlfriend when I was 12, and she gave me a hug, and it was the first time any woman outside of my outside of my family hugged me, and I was like, oh my god, and it's just. I remember you showed up to school.
I bet you were in love with her for a month.
Yeah, exactly. And it was done. But you'd see the cool older guys just hugging girls nonchalantly. It's one day, man.
One day.
I'm
going
to get those hugs. It's that's what a 12-year-old is suffering with.
She would sign your yearbook saying hugs and then send her name.
The yearbook signing was the biggest moment. What are they going to say? I remember... was that the same with you?
Yes, yearbook day. I would lose a day.
Were you the funny kid?
Ish.
Okay, because I was definitely.
I'm sure
I remember
you were.
I was the superlatives in 7th and 8th grade.
Yeah.
Funniest. I got runner up both years to the same kid.
Oh, so there's
and
one
it was like
kid
a
funnier.
Huge hurt. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I was so much my, I was like, I wasn't great at sports. Yeah. I wasn't some ladies man. It was the funny guy, and so I was like, what are they gonna write in my yearbook? And some cute girl would be like, you're funny, and I'm like, oh my gosh,
funny and anything
and
no, just funny.
Just
right.
That we can do that. Yeah.
You know what? The funny guy wins. I don't. I tell that joke on stage now when people see me and my wife together. They go I bet he's funny. There's jokes or money there.
Right.
There's one or the two things. Something
totally,
I can't
totally.
See.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
So did you feel then as the funny kid a pressure to be funny when you were signing the yearbooks? Or did you just do the signature or what did you
I probably I don't know. I don't remember, actually. I don't. I was so self-absorbed. I was just like, what are you going to write about me? I don't know what I wrote.
It's the only years where I feel like you are worried that everybody's thinking and talking about you, but also they are probably talking about you.
Yes.
Because it's the height of insecurity and the height of gossip.
Uh-huh. That's exactly right. It was a terrifying
experience. So mean.
Yeah.
Middle schoolers are so mean.
I specifically remember one girl looking me right in the eye and I think I was trying to make jokes or mess with a few girls. She's like, you realize you're not that cute, right? And I can remember that vividly. Yeah. That just shut me down.
It was have four or five moments that I won't forget.
Yeah.
What's one? I remember one that because you don't, whatever you do will get noticed and called out because they don't have the people skills to be like, maybe hold that in. So I have two stories. One, I remember one day I got in an outfit that I was feeling pretty proud of.
Mm-hmm. And this is what age?
This is eighth grade.
Okay.
So, and I remember it very vividly. Mm-hmm. And, I had kind of cool, they weren't full board shorts, but kind of like the hybrid board shorts.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The little hybrids. Yeah.
And then I had and they were like navy blue. And then I had like a navy blue t-shirt. Gee, and then
this story is bringing back several memories.
Yeah,
for
exactly.
Me.
The shirt, like the plaid shirt, mm-hmm. was also navy. Left it open so you could see the under blue shirt.
Oh, yeah, it was a clean look.
Puka shell necklace.
Yes. The whole thing. You were like ready to go.
I felt good.
Going to school.
What I didn't realize is that people kind of thought the shorts looked more like swim trunks than I realized. And I was like feeling so good about the whole outfit. And then one girl, Jamie McGaw.
Know her name.
Looks at me.
Any idea where she is now?
Who knows?
Yeah. No, who knows? Okay.
She looks at me and she goes, it's like Dustin only got dressed on the top half today.
That's pretty good.
And I was like, that's so hurtful.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I felt
roast.
So good about the whole outfit. And everybody laughed.
Yep.
And I was like,
I can understand why. Yeah. You like laugh it off and then go home like crying.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're like, especially when you felt confident. And then another thing that I always worried about, and this was one of the most humiliating moments of my life. This is the first story I ever told on stage was, because that's what you are as a comedian. You're like, well, this is embarrassing. Let's throw it out there for everybody. There's no easy way to get into this, Trey, but I produce more saliva than most people.
Is that actual diagnosis?
I have multiple dentists say, like, your saliva glands are just, for whatever reason,
just powerhouse glands. That's so interesting.
Some people got strong glutes.
Yeah.
Strong glands.
Okay. Does that actually affect you day to day?
It does.
Really?
I am constantly making sure spit doesn't fly out of my mouth.
Oh, like, you know those people who, when they're talking to you, their lips are always like glazed with spit?
Mm-hmm.
That is the worst.
Yeah.
So you have to be careful.
I have
that.
To be careful.
And you don't do that.
I'm no.
But you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
those
I know
people
exactly
who
what you're talking about.
Their lips are always,
always wet.
Moist. And you're like,
it always looks like they just got out of a pool.
Yeah, yeah.
They dipped their lips in a little pool.
So you have to focus on that.
I have to focus on that, specifically when I'm on stage.
Yeah.
Because that front row, that happened last night. I spit on someone in the front row last night.
Like you kind of noticed you did and you just kept going.
Yeah, and they were like, oh my gosh. And I do like the hack joke or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, splash zone, bring your parkas.
Okay,
you know,
like, you
got to be careful up here.
Yeah.
I am in eighth grade and I have a different outfit on this day.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe just, you know what? I probably added pants.
Yeah.
I probably put on a pair of cargo pants.
A little more conservative.
Not shorts. Cargo pants. Cargo pants had a minute, right?
Yeah, they did, of course.
Yeah, I don't know. I know I'm older.
The zip offs?
Oh, the zip offs.
Those were hot for me for a while. I would like zip them off after recess.
Yeah.
It was like,
not to be confused with the pull off sweatpants.
Of course.
Because, you know, like, early 2000s, late 90s, menswear was all about versatility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just it really was.
It needs to be a thing that can become something else.
Yeah, all about practicality.
It's like, there's the era of Transformer pants.
Right.
So I'm pounding a bag of Skittles,
mm-hmm.
as I usually did for lunch.
Sure.
And it's all, like, I have half the bag in my mouth,
mm-hmm.
and it's just swishing. My saliva is doing its job. It can break down food.
So that's a,
it has its
plus,
perks.
Yeah,
I can swallow any size pill. No water. I don't use water when I swallow pills. Just,
that's helpful. It keeps you on the go.
Good life skills.
Yeah.
Tap on the shoulder. I kind of had my back to everybody. Tap on the shoulder. Two girls, Jamie and Bree. Boom. I turned too fast. Mm-hmm. Turned too fast.
Wait, Jamie, was this the one who roasted
no,
you earlier?
No, this is not Jamie McGaw. This is a different Jamie.
Okay, okay.
I turned too fast, and the saliva kind of swishes left to right as I turn, and drools.
Oh, wow. Like Technicolor drool.
Big exactly. Yeah. Huge, like a rainbow.
Yeah.
Go, and I kind of turn my head with it, and it never detaches. So now I have a thing of Technicolor drool about to hit the ground, touches the ground like a yo-yo walk the dog and won't break.
The cafeteria, the linoleum cafeteria. Floor.
Yeah, exactly.
And then
just sitting hanging. It's just, and I'm making eye contact with them.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know what
to do. You don't realize?
Do. No, I know.
Oh, you know. Okay.
But I don't know what to do. What's the move here?
Just, yeah, you can't.
Do you flick it?
You are totally trapped.
I'm totally trapped. And they're looking at me like, what? How did?
Were you sitting at by yourself?
Yeah, I was kind of standing by myself, okay. Eating in spit shame.
Oh, wow.
And it goes all the way down.
Did and you I have friends?
Not at this.
Not at this juncture.
Not at this juncture. Okay. I did until this happened.
Okay. Okay.
I slip it. I slurp it.
You decide to slurp. Okay. Real quick. Maybe then
comes
see.
All
maybe
the way
see.
Back up. Pops out the other side. Hits Bree. Hits one of the girls.
My gosh. I can't. That doesn't sound real, dude.
And I run.
And
there's
you just
nothing.
Run.
Yeah. There's no.
Just
I just.
Run.
I left. I ran down
that
the
is,
hall.
That is an amazing. That's such a middle school thing.
Yeah,
you just
and,
run.
And you're like in middle school.
Yeah, just, all right. And
yeah.
Hope to.
And in middle school, you're like, oh, well, maybe nobody will say anything.
Uh-huh.
No, I spit boy for 2 weeks.
Yeah, spit boy.
And then it never got referenced again.
You know, we live with that. It wasn't, that's crazy. Yeah, that brought up your little outfit, brought up a couple stories. Like, I remember this one time I got, like you said, you have these things. You think, this is cool, man. I want to wear this to school. I had this shirt. I think it was from Old Navy. And it had, you know, I was basketball obsessed. So I had this basketball right in the center of the shirt that you could, like, inflate.
Oh, yeah.
You already know it. Like,
I know
what?
It.
So I don't
did
know.
Did you
I
also
guess my
have
parent...
the pump-up shoes?
I didn't. But so it was like a beach ball. So you kind of, like, blow it up and then close it. And it was like a, you know, like a half sphere on the center of your chest,
you
and I wore it like
inflate your shirt before you went to
so
work.
So I'm like this. Oh, I remember my parents. You know, I was like, that's cool. Like, sure, it was probably $10 t-shirt.
Yeah.
So I go to school and I get called Uniboob all day, and was like so upset. And came home like, I'll never wear this shirt again. And my
Mom
parents
and
are.
Dad.
I was my parents trying to teach me like, you gotta be confident. You know, don't wear it again. And, you know, I never touched it again. They like wouldn't let me get rid of it, but I never.
They're like,
it
where's
on
that
again.
Shirt?
Yeah. Or like new pair of shoes that. These like I got these chrome gold like shocks.
Yeah.
Like when shocks
oh
go
yeah,
in.
I remember that.
I was like so nervous. But I was like, I like them. You know, I need to wear them, and you know, yeah, just get ripped on them. And
it's a weird thing where you don't really just get to be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You want to, mm-hmm. but you will get clowned on.
Yeah.
So hard for being yourself. You don't get to be a unique individual in middle school.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, that girl who looked right at me and was like, "You're not cute." Like. We went to high school and I knew her pretty well.
You
and
say that to yourself in the mirror now on bad days. You know you're not cute.
And I went on to know her and she, I never mentioned that because that would be psychotic. But she she was like, I'm sure she'd be like, I don't remember saying that. That is so mean. Like I'm sure I said such mean things to even my friends that I like sat with them
don't you
when
think
I was 13.
Do you think about that now? I do. I'm like people, because you're like a thing now.
Yeah.
And I think of people too, like Dustin Nickerson's a professional stand-up comedian, and their memories are based on like eighth grade.
Yeah, exactly.
Trey.
Yeah, jeez.
And they're
I
like,
hope.
Dude, this one time.
Yeah.
What weird things do they remember about you? Like, I remember with Jamie.
I
you
know.
Remember this
I hope. I don't think I like was mean to anyone. I hope not. But I hope. I'm sure there was like offhanded comments that people like. I never forgot when Trey in ninth grade told me. I don't know. I don't know. I can't think of a story, but geez, I did get in trouble for bullying in fifth grade.
Oh,
which wasn't good.
Like,
but so it was like fourth grade. I was getting bullied.
Right.
My parents, for whatever reason, it's all my parents' fault.
Sure.
Right? So
yeah, of course,
you should know that
they bought the shirt.
Whatever your kid's going through, your fault.
Perfect.
Yeah.
That's
so they,
checks out.
Yeah, they bought the shirt. So I'm in fourth grade, and they, for whatever reason, had you know, my mom was fixing my hair every morning.
Right.
You know, and it was this like. Presidential slicked over comb over, like gelled comb, and which was cute when you're like five.
Yep.
But first, second, third, you know, all the kids at that point had the cool like where you just kind of flip up the front.
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
And it's fourth grade now, and I still have this like childish thing my mom slicks over every morning, starting to get made fun of a little bit, until finally like this one particular kid was just roasting me and everyone was laughing.
Yeah.
And I come home like, I need a new haircut, you know, crying, new haircut now. And
Mom!
My dad won't allow it. He's like, no, you don't listen to them. You know, you go back and you give it to them. Which, you know, it's different parenting techniques
you
everywhere.
You give it to them.
Yeah, you give it back. You say, "You, oh, what is his hair like?" You make fun of his or something. But because I was such a shy, timid kid, so I think my dad was like, "We got to give this kid some fire under his belly."
Yeah, give him some life
I went
skills.
Back and, you know, kind of eventually the hair did change. But through fifth grade, I guess I went a little too far the other way, and so we had to redirect. And then I was not a bully or did really get bullied through middle school, but fourth and fifth grade were learning years. Sure. Yeah.
I feel like that is like, I was thinking about this yesterday, and I don't know if I could even, I was wondering if I could make a joke about it or not, but I feel like, like a lot of like fifth through eighth grade is deciding how you want to do your hair, like moving forward as a growing person, and how you're going to smile.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Is like, you don't, yeah, I like how you're going to smile for pictures.
Oh, that's true. I definitely had like a cool guy smirk.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, but you worked on it, right?
Yes, I just remembered that. I definitely had like a cool guy smirk in photos. Oh man, brutal. And I had the
you
most,
worked on your smile in middle school.
What was yours like?
So I went through an insecurity like in sixth grade where I like I couldn't figure out a teeth smile.
Oh,
I couldn't figure out. I was like, I'd go to it'd be like that's too much, and I couldn't low key it. So I would do no
braces
teeth
smile.
No, I never did braces. Okay. I was always like borderline. Like I was like, you could, but you don't have to.
Yeah, your parents are like, well, just you'll be fine. Yeah.
And then I probably would have gotten them, but then like my sister who could have used them a little more. I was like, there was no way to not kind of insult my sister's teeth there.
I was like, that wasn't a joke, but that's still funny.
Yeah.
She needed them more. Let's be real. That's funny. My sister would like, my teeth were jacked up.
Oh,
I had metal in my mouth for like 6 years.
Yeah.
And my sister's were great. But towards the end of high school, something happened where she did end up needing braces.
Oh.
So for like 6 years, she's making fun of me and like, I don't need them. And then I was like, I had them in seventh grade when everyone did.
Yeah.
And she had them like senior year of high school. So then I, you know, I'd make fun of her. That often happened where she'd make fun of me. I'd give it back.
Yeah.
She'd cry. I get in trouble. I'm like, you know,
I think that's what my son would describe his childhood. Yeah, like right now, like they kind of instigate each other and then the one gets in trouble. But
is your son funny like you?
He's funny, but not in the same way. Like, you know, funny is like,
clever. Like I feel
he's
like
clever.
I feel
like
I would get in trouble with my sister or like bullying because
I
was quicker than the kid bullying me. So like if I was supposed to give it back, I'd give it back. Like,
and that's
funnier.
What I was. Yeah. Like I wasn't class clown, goofy, slapsticky.
Oh, really?
I couldn't do that, but like I could insult somebody. I could be really mean and make people laugh. And then, and then I could kind of quick wit, you know, like a situation, you know, but it, as a parent, you're like, you know, you're like the referee in a melee and you just come and throw and flex.
Right. Yeah.
You're like, you're out of the game. 15 yards on you.
I'm sure it's just, and then that's not fair to like my parents had to, they always joked that like, it was just me and my sister and she was like straight A's, angel. And they
me
said
too.
Like
me
90%
sister,
of their efforts were towards me.
You said it was older sister.
Younger.
Younger
so
sister,
we're like 15 months apart, very close. I just terrorized her and I was difficult and she was an angel. So it was, I can't imagine what my parents, my sweet mother especially.
Yeah.
But okay, you said you were figuring out your smile. You didn't have braces.
I didn't have braces, but I just, because I have the gap. And the gap has been the same size.
It's the same gap.
Okay.
So not, not like a serious gap.
But one that you would be insecure about
if you're 12,
Yeah, but now you're like, everyone's like, no one would be like, oh, he's got a little gap.
It's kind of chic now.
It is.
It is.
You know, I should have kept my mole on my forehead.
Oh,
I should have kept
a little beauty mark. Nice.
It was, and then it just kept growing.
Oh, it just,
And then I remember getting insulted by that. Man, Dustin look like he has an eraser on his face.
Kids are funny, which I'm worried
they're
like my
so
kid will
funny.
Come home and be like, a kid said this, and I'll be like,
my kid, that's funny you say that. My kid got sent to the principal's office today.
Today.
My wife texted me and she's like, hey, Joel got sent to the principal's office. And I was like, all right, well, that's familiar territory.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, why? And he's like, he made some joke about the teacher. And I was like, But was it funny?
Yeah, wait, was it?
Did it crush?
Did he murder in the classroom?
Yeah. But this was, so that
what
was
it?
I don't even know the details. I think it was about like, where's the teacher? And he says something like, screw the teacher or something that, you know.
Classic.
You know, he's in seventh grade. It's not going to be that good.
Yeah.
You know, right, it's not going to be. But sometimes kids can be so funny.
Yeah.
But I was texting my wife earlier and I was like, I seem like the school stuff did the job. Because when you, if you ever got in trouble, like when you got in trouble for fourth grade, did you, how was it then when you got in trouble? Like, cause I
when
would
I got in trouble when?
When you said fifth grade, you got in trouble for bullying.
Oh.
Like I broke down the couple times that I went to the principal's office.
Oh yeah. So it was like it was the report card deal where back at that point it was like you either got like an S for satisfactory or a U for unsatisfactory. Mm-hmm. And it was a report card on your grades and behavior.
Oh, I see.
And so the one, whatever it was labeled as, that insinuated bullying was like you. And, you know, I had great parents. My mother was like, you know, my parents like demanded the very best out of me. And my mother was very involved with the parent school things.
Yeah, PTA
and
PTA or whatever.
I mean, I got in big trouble.
Yeah. So,
and I wasn't, you know, but we figured it out.
Yeah.
But I definitely, in terms of breaking down, I think there was a couple times, right, you know, because I was like tough, I'm cool, I'm too cool for school and funny, and, you know, I don't care if I get in trouble. And there was a couple where like my parents would get beyond mad to like upset, you know, and that's when it was like, oh,
yeah,
you know, like I had this one teacher who I just thought was an idiot, and part of the class was like everyone had to bring $5 to help pay for supplies.
Yeah.
And I just didn't tell my parents. I'm like, he doesn't deserve no money. And I just was like the one kid who wouldn't pay, and he kept reminding me, and I was like, no, I'm not giving you nothing. And it was like that. So he was like giving me, he was like, you know, hated me. And by the end of it, he was like giving me these, I was doing like extra assignments.
Yeah.
Like he's like, you're either give me $5 or do the extra assignment. I was like, no problem. And I was like doing the extra, just like being a nightmare student. And, until the end, he finally contacted my parents, and they were appalled. They're like, $5. We will give you the. And they were like, just that was after several things, and I saw my mom like crying, and that's when I was just like, oh, it's just like not. Yeah, I need to stop.
I'm a bad kid.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
So
that's such a funny. But I do sometimes I think of like when you look back on your teachers, and like sometimes you were a kid, and you're like, man, this teacher is dumb or is bad at this. And then as an adult, I was like, you might have been right though. Because you
the guy was a putz, but I mean, it's just no respect for authority is not a good quality.
Well, and I feel like as a comedian, it's hard for me to lecture my kids on not being smart, Alex, and respecting authority. I was like, I literally found the job where you don't have a boss.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like, no, you need to respect authority, kid. Right. Like, and then
that's a good point. I've never done it. I don't, and now I literally don't have to. And so that's not good.
Yeah. But. You've probably heard me badmouth every boss that I did have. Yeah. You hear, you see me like run red lights when I'm like, I don't use my blinker when I drive. I was like, these are stupid.
Yeah. Like no one cares.
No, exactly. Yeah. I was telling my son the other day about how I legally carpool, you know, and then I was like, I tell him, he's like, he was asking about the carpool lane. I was like, well, the trick is, son, I drive a minivan and
no one ever does that by themselves.
No one's going to pull over a minivan with a car seat and tinted windows, like,
right. And if they do, they'll like feel bad enough for you.
Like, I was like, come on, man.
Whoever's driving a minivan by themselves, they're going through something.
I've always thought of the excuse. I was like, oh, well, I just, you know, like, I usually have the kids in the car, I just wasn't thinking.
Yeah. Oh, that was
oh, there's back not there. A baby in the back. Well, where is it? Yeah, you know, to go plead insanity.
Nice. Yeah.
So, yeah, I find myself, it's like, it's hard to, but do you feel, but your parents weren't that way. This, like irreverence or lack of respect.
Oh no, I'm like my father. I'm very similar to my father. So my father has his own small business, and like he was, I guess, equally like difficult growing up. So they're, I guess, I feel like, I don't know, are any of your children like very similar to you? I feel like my parents, like my mother was so sweet and like wants to make everyone happy. So she struggled, but like it was just her and me. Like my dad was at work,
right.
It was a lot when he was around. I was a lot more well behaved.
Yeah,
I kind of like really tested my mom because she's so sweet. She wouldn't like my dad would just swat me and stuff. But she was
okay.
Like,
no, stop.
And but I get I'm sure they go back and they're like, well, this he's just like you,
right?
So I mean, in some ways, you probably see it and you're like proud of it. But
my middle
child
is a lot like me.
Okay,
Gloria, how she can be rude to her parents. Or specifically my wife. And I think it's so funny.
Yeah.
I think it's so funny.
What, little snippy responses or like...
We have like a teasing based family, mm-hmm. and I like that. Mm-hmm. But like sometimes it crosses a line.
Right.
Like my wife has like psoriasis, mm-hmm. and the only place that it shows up is on her hands.
Okay.
And she'll love that I'm saying this, but we've talked about it. It's like an ongoing thread sure. on this podcast.
Okay.
Like,
good to know.
Because, you know, like my wife is gorgeous, spectacular. And she has psoriasis on her hands. And so like, you know, psoriasis kind of attacks the skin.
Sure.
And so one time in front of the family, I made fun of her hands.
Oh.
And we called her like her old lady hands. Like mom's like 34 with the hands of a dead person. And I was like, mom's going to be a skeleton for Halloween, but won't have to wear the gloves.
Like, oh, my God. You ever see the scary movie, whichever one it was, where he's like, my germs.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah, and I was like, mom, looks like she's got Tales from the Crypt hands. Yeah, like, okay. You remember that show? Like, and I should have never done that in front of the kids.
But mom appreciates them?
She laughs.
She laughs. But yeah. Kids, like, took.
They do. And she's like, well, laugh at the house. She's like, it's just it gets awkward in public.
Yeah.
Where, like, they'll be making fun of, like, hey, can you hand me that Capri Sun with your old lady hands? And everyone's like, whoa. Yeah. Whoa. We're, like, at the Little League field.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Meanwhile, I'm on the road. Yeah. Like, I'm not.
Like, this is your fault.
Yeah. But
and he's
not
even here.
She is kind of like you said, Gloria is a million times, like, better when I'm around. But we also, like, just bond together in different ways. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's, I would say that our personalities merge the most, whereas mm-hmm. like my son, who I love dearly, obviously, like, but there are just times that like he confines a little more, like mm-hmm. he brings his heavy stuff to Melissa because she's just way more empathetic. Yeah, sure. And yeah, motherly, yeah. And I think some of it is because I was an emotional kid, but like I wasn't raised in an environment where that was okay.
Yeah.
So I just had to kind of like learn to suppress those things.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Now I'm like, if it wasn't for my wife, I'd be doing the same thing. I'd
sure.
be like, oh, you're upset? Get over it. Yeah, you know, like yeah. boys don't cry nonsense.
Definitely,
so.
Definitely.
But it sounds like you had a nice equal balance with mom and dad.
Yeah. Can't complain at all. My, the mom was like, yeah, very invested and like, you know, wanted, like, I joke about it in my middle school video, just getting in the car and get asked 1,000 questions.
Yes.
It's like very annoying, but also, you know, because she just wants to know everything.
Yeah.
Very invested. And my dad was like, coached all my little league teams and we bonded through the sports and,
yeah.
and stuff like that. So it was nice. I mean, I definitely was raised, I said, you know, he said, go give it back to him. Like kind of that tough kid
yeah.
idea, you know, which yeah. I think every method has their pros and cons.
Right.
But I think I was such a shy, timid kid. Like I was in a first grade little play. We just like the, you know, 25 kids in the class did a little Thanksgiving play for
yeah.
like just the parents to show up in the little room this size.
Right.
And I had like one line and said it and immediately just like ran into my parents' arms crying because I was just like so nervous.
Oh.
Yeah, which I'm sure. Oh, but
at least you get the line out.
Yeah. That was the kind of like level of
yeah.
like no confidence I had. So I think
yeah.
he was trying to like, you know, this is yeah. such a wimpy kid. Come on.
I think that it's like, it's great you're your mom. And I think that there's like a different like understanding that like parents have now, which is like a little more of just like being sympathetic to your kid and where they're at. Like
yeah.
you don't like I remember talking to a friend of mine who he's like a high school counselor,
mm-hmm.
really brilliant, kind, loving dude.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember he's talking about, he's like when they do like studies of like the child's brain, like, and when you like ask a kid why they do that and they said, I don't know, they literally don't know.
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
not making cognitive
don't tell me.
Reasonable.
I guess. Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
definitely.
I don't know. No, they don't know. They don't know why they
truly
did
don't.
The thing that they did.
Yeah.
And it's because their brains are on fire.
Yeah. Dude, I think since I've gotten older, I've appreciated, you know, like I said, it was kind of difficult. My parents really like kept their thumb on me and said, you know, right when I got to school, I constantly would like have C's and stuff like you, but you know, get your grades up or we're
yeah.
going to punish you. And I look to like some people that I know as adults, you know, I'm like 26, so a few years out of college and they're not doing well and they have parents who've like enabled them.
Right.
And I think that's really interesting. Kind of like, I have some distant kind of friends I know who, like, you know, in college they got a DUI.
Right.
And they talk about how my parents were literally, they were nothing but loving. They showed up. They didn't say a thing negative, which is like, oh, that's really cool. But I don't know. Because
yeah.
they went and like got another one.
Yeah.
And like, I knew if I did something like that,
yeah.
you're moving back home. You're going to the community college down the street from where you grew up.
Right.
You know, you don't
yeah.
get a phone anymore. Like it would have been.
It would have been. Yeah.
Yeah.
There'd
so
been
I kind
pay.
Of. Yeah. So I think like all those nuances of parenting has to be difficult.
Yeah.
Because it's,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't get any answers. Yeah. We had a friend tell us recently, he said, you know, ages under five, you don't get any sleep because you're so physically weary. And like, and then like in middle school and high school, you don't get any sleep because you're so emotionally weary.
Yeah. I just going through that. I think I was listening to your podcast with some, maybe it was,
thanks, buddy.
Yeah, on Annie's or your own. Where
when I was on somebody else's.
Yeah. I've never listened to yours directly. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Are you probably listening to this episode? Do you listen to when you're on a guest of other people's podcasts?
No.
Oh yeah.
I've never even like my own podcast. I sent the, you know, my, agency for the podcast just kind of edits it and uploads it, and I don't even listen.
Yeah,
I don't know. It takes me. I listen to parts, I guess, where people like start to see some feedback. But
you were listening to mine or Annie's.
Yeah, and what were we talking about?
Parenting, hard decisions.
You said, oh, it's like you have. It's like you're going through those, like we talked about, those horrible middle school experiences all over again.
Yep. Yeah, you're in
with your child.
Yep.
Yeah, when your child comes home, and it's like. Everyone has armpit hair and I don't yet.
Yeah.
And they're making fun of me. And it's like, right now we could laugh about that, but it's like, you know, I actually see that's really upsetting you.
Oh,
it's
man.
Like, here we go again.
It's so hard. Yeah. Like if you're going to be a good parent, you're going to be back in middle school.
Yeah, like probably my biggest, insecurity. This is probably too much info, but basically I had like when we'd play, you know, Shirts and Skins or something, you know, and I had a nipple that was like, longer than the other or something. You know,
I did too.
It sounds like, and it was like very minimal. Like it's still the same today. And no one says anything, but I guess you're so skinny at that age. And it like, there's kind of a difference.
You analyze your body so closely.
When I say it, I don't envision like an inch long.
Yeah.
That's disgusting. It was like something I shouldn't have been bothered by, but the, you know, kids are finding ways to pick on you. So they'd kind of,
got a nipple and then a plunger on the other side.
Like, they poke fun at me. And I just like was so ashamed to have my shirt off. And I remember we'd do Shirts and Skins.
They would make fun of
it. Yeah. They'd make fun of it.
Of the
that
nipple.
Was like, and so I was like, I don't want to take my shirt off. And
Trey's
then we
got that long nipple.
And we do. So I grew up playing basketball. Shirts and Skins is always a thing. And so that was like the most terrifying moment.
Yeah.
And my dad was the coach and he knew. And he'd always put me on Skins. No, you need. It's fine. It's fine. Dad, no.
Yeah.
And it's just funny the things that like. And now, like I think of now today of like back hair that people make fun of, and I'm like, I'm a grown man.
Yeah, man. Of course, I got back hair.
I don't care.
It's,
which is a really good feeling.
What's more embarrassing, back hair or having someone take care of your back hair for you, or like, or
dude, I have a fiance now who like has finally kind of like I don't have a lot, but it's more like my lower back.
Okay.
So, which is, you know, some people have like a full
that's an unhappy
shoulder
trail.
Patch.
Okay. That is an unhappy trail.
Which is like, I guess I'd always, my friends would rag on me for it. I was just like, yeah, man, you know, I didn't care. And but finally she's like, maybe we should like, it wouldn't take that much effort for me to kind of
just
clean it. Yeah.
Just clean it up a little.
And I was like, but yeah, I think it's weird when grown men like tame their backs. It's like, dude.
Themselves, especially. I'm like, how do you even do that?
How do you do that?
I can barely dry my back off.
Yeah,
let alone shave.
Exactly. I mean, clean. I've never cleaned my back.
Yeah.
I don't know. I understand how people do that.
I put soap on the wall of the shower, and I just
like
a bear.
Grizzly bear. Yeah. Seriously, dude. Oh, yeah. You just kind of like slap your arms on your back, and you're like, that probably got it. Yeah. Seriously,
as far as I know, I just have one patch in the middle of my back.
Right, that's just
disgusting.
Yeah, just
it's,
all sorts of.
It's like a New
bacteria.
York street. It's just the most. That is such an insecurity as a middle school boy. You know, is having your shirt off, and like I remember, I had the same thing. I had uneven nipples. They I had like an innie and an outie.
Okay. Okay, got it.
And, then late middle school, I got acne on my chest and my back. Mm. Backne.
Backne.
As the wrestler. Yeah, and I was a wrestler, so that was all highlighted pretty well.
Yeah.
I remember one time, like, I wrestled in, this was in high school, I wrestled another guy that had really bad backne.
Mm.
And
you're like, that's gross.
And, like, our teammates were calling it the pimple party. They were like, pimple party, so the 144s are wrestling each other, it's a pimple party.
There's just pus all over the wrestling
mats. The match, so this is a flex. I did beat him,
nice,
I finished second in district.
Very nice.
But I beat him 2-1, And did you wrestle? I don't know if you're familiar with the point.
I did not wrestle, but I'm somewhat familiar. Well, Oklahoma State.
There you go. Absolutely. One of the ways you can get a point is an escape.
Of course.
And he got an escape because I looked down, like I was like in the like on top position, and he looked down, and I looked down, and one of his zits had popped. It was like all pus and blood.
Dude.
And I pushed him away. And that was his one point of the match.
I can't do it.
Yeah.
Oh,
I remember. So I grew up in Seattle. We didn't swim very often. But we, like a friend.
Where'd you grow up?
In Seattle.
Okay. And there's wrestling up there?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I mean, okay. There's wrestling everywhere.
But I get. Yeah, okay. I thought it was kind of regional.
No. Wrestling's popular. It was in our schools and stuff. Yeah. But the, anyway, so I remember Marie, I keep saying all my middle school friends' names. Marie mm-hmm. Miller mm-hmm. Had a big, mm-hmm. who was a hottie.
Okay. okay.
Marie yeah. Miller.
One of those
like,
girls
yeah,
in the school.
Exactly.
Everyone's
yeah.
like, oh my gosh.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
We were in sixth grade. She had a birthday party at the Federal Way swimming pool.
Oh, man. You're bringing back somebody. Yeah. Okay,
I was so nervous.
Yeah.
And I was like, because I wasn't in bad shape. I was actually in pretty good shape.
Yeah.
You know, I had a little muscle tone. I was a little wrestler, a little athlete.
The wrestlers always had the best.
Oh, yeah.
The best bodies.
Yeah.
I
mean, clearly, look at this right here. But I couldn't. I was like, what do I do? I don't want. I want people to see my abs. But I don't want them to see the other bumps.
Right. Can you crop top it? I don't know.
So I made a decision to swim with my shirt on.
Mm.
And I made it 1 minute. I was like, this is not worth it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then like the kid in
like
me.
Drowning.
The kid in me won. I was like, swimming's a lot more fun without a shirt.
Yeah,
swimming with a shirt on is not
pretty brutal.
They didn't have, rash guards weren't popular yet when we were kids.
Yeah.
At least when I was.
Just some big cotton shirt you're trying to swim around in.
It was a shirt that I got from winning a soccer tournament.
Nice. Yeah.
It was
just
the Kitsap Invitational.
Yeah.
Jerseys
dive on
or
on that. Yeah.
Yeah, and I did. I went off the diving board first because I could do a flip, and I was
this will be cool. This will be good. This like offset the shirt thing. He's wearing a shirt, which is lame, but the flip.
Yeah, it's really flying in the air. It looks like a cape. You brought back a memory though. Swim party memory or?
Oh yeah, I just remember we'd do the swim parties, and those were always like, these co-ed swim parties, and I had no confidence. The girls freaked me out, and they would do like. You always had those dudes who were like had a lot of confidence, and they're really talking to the girls, and same some of those girls too. And a certain group would always migrate to like the hot tub portion of the pool by the end of the night, and truth or dare would begin.
Oh my!
You know, like
truth or dare in the hot
give
tub.
Give them a pack or something. And I would never enter the truth or dare hot tub. I did not have the
truth or dare tub.
The guts to do that. Yeah. Dude, it was. I just remember them just swimming by my with like me and my other shy buddy while they're like in there. It's just like,
what are they saying? Shy
so
buddy.
Lame. So like, lame. Yeah.
I'll show you one day.
It was, my parents. I had this group of friends. There's like seven of us, and we hung out every like weekend, every day at school, and we were pretty much all of us were pretty shy.
Yeah.
Like good kids and had like similar upbringing, so it was just like, but so shy, and we just hung out and didn't really hang out with anyone else. I think my parents were like fully convinced I was a complete weirdo, and like they'd come over and like would hardly talk to my parents because they were so shy. And I'm sure. I think, but I was when I got close to my friends or close to certain people, I was like this really goofy, like big personality, but so shy otherwise. And I think my parents didn't like. They would see it sometimes within our family, obviously, but I think they thought I left the house and was just like such a loser. Uh-huh. You know, I think they were like,
yeah. I think though, like, because I was similar. You know what my thing is? Like, I always took pride in making the funny kid laugh.
Mm.
I was like, if I can make the guy that makes everybody else laugh, then I'm actually the funniest.
Yeah,
but like, I don't need to flaunt it.
Nice. Yeah,
like
so you weren't really a class clown, ever?
Not at all.
Ever?
Not
were
at
you
all.
Shy, I mean, or you just didn't care?
I wasn't shy, like because I was involved in school and stuff. I wasn't, but I could never, and I still can't like work a room
mm-hmm.
or like a table or anything like that.
So I think there's a difference between probably like being like a clever like comedy writer,
right.
Joke teller. Besides just being like a big personality, there's
only
a difference.
The only thing that I could pull off was like sarcasm and like
just quick.
And
I'm sure everyone
and stuff like that.
Acknowledge you were like quick.
Yeah,
but
in
10th
grade, the one of the biggest laughs I ever got in class was in 10th grade, and like the English teacher, like Mrs. Lawson or something, was like the she was like, all right, kid, so there's going to be, you know, a little extra homework this week. Mm-hmm. And I go, whatever, Shelby, because her first name was Shelby. Whatever.
So disrespectful.
Yeah, yeah. And it murdered.
That's great.
And
yeah.
She laughed a little, too. Yeah, yeah, when the teacher was like.
Those were the best.
The teacher that would laugh.
I specifically remember a teacher getting on me for doing something. Yeah. And I like explained what I was doing. And yeah. He like laughed. He's like, that was funny. So you're not in trouble. You know, those were like the most rewarding.
Yeah. Yeah. So sure. The takeaway from this whole conversation is we'll go back and we'll talk to my kid who got sent to the principal's office. And yeah. If what he said wasn't funny, he's in trouble. But
yeah,
if it hit, funny. And I'm like, respect.
All right, yeah. I'm proud of you, but, you know, you're grounded for like a day.
A day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for doing this, buddy.
Yeah, man.
I appreciate
fun.
You.
Of course.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. If you have not done so already, please rate and subscribe. Follow us on all the social medias and share with all of your friends. Also, if you want to shoot us a note, you can email us at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com. Also, if you enjoyed this episode and you have not done so already, please go back and listen to all the episodes we've done before. Thanks so much, everybody.